He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Pastor.
Let's continue to worship this morning. We have the Word of God open to John chapter 3, and I would ask that you bow your heads just for a moment, and let's ask God to help us as we look at this passage of Scripture before us. Let's pray together. Father, what a joy it is to be here today, and what a great privilege it is to come together as your people and to worship. Father, our hearts have been lifted up. Our hearts have been blessed this morning as we have worshiped in Scripture and in song and in giving and through the Word. And oh God, we thank you for this great privilege. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to turn our thoughts and our affections toward Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He truly is a wonderful Savior. We're thankful for Jesus. And Father, as we open this Scripture now, the Scripture that is directed to us about Jesus, Lord, we ask for your help. For we know that there's a part of us that would go its own way. Father, we know that there's a challenge of our thoughts moving in other directions. Oh, Lord, help us. This Word is before us. It is your Word. It comes from you. And it's given that we might know you, that we might know Jesus, the Son, through the Spirit this day. So, God, you've brought us together. The passage is before us. We cry out for the help of the Spirit in our understanding. And Father, not only to understand it, but understand it in a way that will change us. So Father, we thank you. Thank you for your faithful, continued work in our lives. Thank you for your Word. And God, may we honor you now through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're in John chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you to hold your place there and turn with me to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and look at verse 31. We've done this several times in the course of our study in the first three chapters of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verse 31. The Apostle John wrote near the end of this book these words, John chapter 20, verse 31. And he says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You know, folks, it's not often that when we look at a passage of Scripture or a book from the Word of God that we clearly have the purpose of the writer. Now, that happens in some of the books, but not all. And yet here in the Gospel of John, we have the writer, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving us the purpose of this book. And that's helpful to us. That helps us as we study the book, because that means that every passage we look at, every word that we examine, every chapter that we look at, we can go back to this purpose, and we can ask ourselves, how does this meet the purpose? How does this meet the goal, this passage that I'm looking at? You see, John's goal has become our goal as we have worked our way through the first three chapters of the Gospel of John. Now, keep in mind that this is part of a bigger study. We're looking at rock-solid, fundamental truths from the Word of God that form the foundation for Christian living. And frankly, folks, there is no Christian living apart from Jesus Christ. And so in the last several months, we've been looking specifically at the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and we've done it through the first three chapters of John's Gospel. The next direction that we go into will be looking at the writings of Isaiah in the Old Testament as he speaks about the Messiah, as he speaks about Jesus. But yet John has had our attention now for several months. So we're working and we're worshiping our way through this gospel so that, in the words of the Apostle John, so that we might see the glory of Jesus and we might believe and we might have eternal life. That's John's goal and that's our goal as we're looking now at John chapter 3. So we come to the last six verses of John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist, we looked at this last week. John the Baptist said in verse 30, "He must increase and I must decrease." Now there's some question among Bible teachers as who speaks now in the last six verses, verses 31 to 36. Some say that John the Baptist continues to speak. Some say that the Apostle John now brings many truths together in this last paragraph, and it's the Apostle John who was speaking. Frankly, folks, there's really no way to know for sure. You look at your English Bibles, there might be some quotation marks there, but yet these marks are not used in ancient Greek, so we really don't know who's saying these words. We do know this, that the Apostle John wrote these words, and we know that the Apostle John wrote these words by the inspiration of God. God moves within him, and John's writing these words, and that's enough for us. That's important for us as we consider these last words. We are getting the Word of God this morning through inspiration. John writes it down. We have it before us. Now notice that these last words in chapter 3 land squarely on Jesus. And Jesus is put forth in these words as being glorious, magnificent, supreme, satisfying. When you look at these last six verses in John chapter 3, it almost takes us back to the words that we saw in John chapter 1, where John writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, folks, the Apostle John will not allow us to move our attention away from Jesus because he's meeting his goal. He's right on target with his purpose. He wants us to see the glory of Jesus. He wants us to believe so that we might have eternal life. And John's meeting that goal and that purpose even as we end chapter 3. I can confidently and clearly stand before you today and say this, that eternity divides at Jesus. Eternity divides at Jesus. You see, there are people who believe God to be true in Jesus, and they will land on one side of eternity. And there are people who believe God to be a liar in Jesus, and they will land on another side of eternity. God is true, or God is a liar. Now that may sound just clear and simple, and yet just so plain, and it is. Because even today, with the Word of God before us, we will make a choice whether God is true or God is a liar. And we'll see it in these words this morning. You see, folks, on one side is eternal life. God is true in Jesus. On one side is eternal judgment. God is a liar in Jesus. And each one of us today makes that choice whether God is true or God is a liar in Jesus. That's how John chapter 3 ends. That's what John 3:36 essentially says. And so what we'll do this morning now, we know how it ends. Let's now fill in some of the details of how John says it. So I urge you today, with all seriousness, to hear the Word of God and to see the glory of Jesus. So what glory of Jesus do we see in these last six verses of John chapter 3? First of all, look with me at verse 31. We see first that Jesus is from God. Verse 31. John writes and he says, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." And so first of all, we see that Jesus is put before us as coming from God. Jesus is from God. Look carefully at our passage. In verse 31, John says, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." Look at verse 34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God." In three different ways, John tells us that Jesus is not from this earth. He is from heaven. He is from God. Now, to make sure and to make clear what this distinction means, John actually contrasts Jesus with everyone else. Look at verse 31. He says, "He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth." I believe that John is actually saying the same thing that Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6, when Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so John is contrasting Jesus here in verse 31 with every other human being. In other words, Jesus is different than you. Jesus is different than me. Jesus is different from any person who ever lived upon this earth. Jesus is different. You see, folks, every human being except Jesus is flesh of the earth, natural. They're not spiritual. We're not spiritual. We don't have supernatural life apart from Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're sinful, we're fallen, we're in need of the new birth. And every human being is like this except one, and that one is Jesus. Hold your place here in John chapter 3 and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look at verses 47 to 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 47 to 49. Here we have the words of the Apostle Paul. And essentially, Paul was saying the same thing that John said. Look what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 47. Paul says, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust." That man was Adam. The first man, Adam, was of the earth, made of dust. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." That man is Jesus. So you have the first man, Adam. You have the second man, Jesus. The first man, Adam, was of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. Verse 48. "As was the man of dust," that's Adam, "so also are those who are made of dust." Guess who that is? That's us. That's us. So we're of Adam. "And as is the heavenly man," that's Jesus, "so also are those who were heavenly." In other words, those who were born again, those who have that spiritual life, they are of this heavenly man. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, that's Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Those who were born again, those who have that spiritual life, shall bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus Christ. So think about this. Both Paul and John and Jesus see two kinds of people. There may be two kinds of people here today. Probably looking at this crowd today and the number here, two kinds of people here today. There are heavenly people here connected to the second man, Jesus. There are earthly people here connected to the first man, Adam. One is earthly and one is from heaven. All of us bear the image of Adam in his sinful condition. He's the head. He's the first of the earthly human race, the family of Adam. And folks, get this, all who believe in Jesus bear His image and His righteous condition because He is the head of a new human race, the family of God, a spiritual race of people. Now go back to John chapter 3 and let's bring this together. Because we do see a contrast here in John chapter 3, verse 31. John writes and he says, "He who comes from above is above all." Now that's Jesus. He came from above. "He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth." That's all the rest of us. So what John then is saying, and he says it in this very specific way, that there is a man who is infinitely different from all other men. He does not share in Adam's sin. He's not merely of the earth or from the earth. How did John say it at the beginning of the Gospel of John? He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So you see, the first truth this morning, the first truth that would move our attention to Jesus and the glory of Jesus is this, that Jesus is from above. Jesus is from heaven. Jesus is from God. And folks, He came into this world without sin on a mission to save sinners. And that's the glory of Jesus. Jesus is from God. Now look at John chapter 3, because we continue to see the glory of Jesus. There's a second truth here that will help us see that glory. Notice that Jesus is full of God. Jesus is full of God. Look at verses 34 and 35. The last part of verse 34, the first part of verse 35. John writes and he says, "For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son." Now, when I look at that, and I put those words together, and even in its context, I have to stand back and say, there's something mysterious here. There is something profound in what John is saying here about Jesus. Because he's saying that God is always giving to the one that He sent, the Spirit, without measure. And he's saying that God is always loving the Son. And in the very least, in my limited, low understanding, it has to mean that there is a fullness in the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And so the question then is, well, what is this fullness? And John touches on it. First of all, the Father gives the Son the Spirit of God without measure. Now, this is important when we think about it, because Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's the God-man. He is fully God. He is fully man. And He was given the Spirit of God as the God-man. That's important. Jesus receives the Spirit fully and completely and entirely. As a matter of fact, it cannot be measured. It is infinite. God communicates and imparts and bestows His Spirit on the Son fully and completely and infinitely. Think about this now. As much as there is of the Spirit the Son has. As many ways as He, the Son, can have the Spirit, He has Him in all the ways. As fully as the Spirit can be known and enjoyed in all that fullness, Jesus knows and enjoys the Spirit of God. So you see why I say this is mysterious? This is, in our thinking, this can be beyond us. God the Son had the fullness of God the Spirit. He had the Spirit completely and fully and infinitely. You see, folks, this filling with Jesus was not limited like it is for us as God's children, because we have indwelling sin. This affects this fullness of the Spirit. The Son of God had no sin, and therefore He had the fullness of the Spirit completely, entirely. But then second, John says that the Father loves the Son. And the language that he uses, it's a complete love. It's a full love. There is a fullness in the Father's love for the Son. And so it appears in the way that it's worded that there is a connection between the giving of the Spirit without measure and the love of the Father for the Son. And I think that we can bring it together in our understanding by simply saying that there is a fullness of God in Jesus Christ. Folks, He is fully man and He is fully God. Fully man, fully God. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, when he speaks about Jesus, he would say, "For in Him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Think about it, the fullness of the Spirit of God, the fullness of the love of God, and the fullness of God, the fullness of deity in a human body. And that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So think about it. Jesus is full of God because Jesus is God. And that's the glory of Jesus. So in just a few words that the Apostle John writes down here at the end of John chapter 3, we see first of all that Jesus is from God, and we see that Jesus is full of God. But look again at the passage, because John's not finished. There's a third truth that will help us see the glory of Jesus. Notice that Jesus speaks and rules as God. Look at verses 34 and 35. John says, "For He whom God has sent speaks the words of God." Verse 35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." And so the Apostle John now puts forth Jesus as not only coming from God and being full of God, but also speaking and ruling as God. Notice that Jesus speaks as God. Verse 32. John says, "And what He has seen and heard, that He testifies." In other words, what Jesus has seen and heard in heaven from the Father, that's what He spoke. When He was here, that's what He would speak, what He heard from the Father. Look at verse 34. "For He whom God has sent speaks the words of God." So Jesus is from heaven. Jesus has the Spirit of God entirely, infinitely, immeasurably. Jesus is from God. He is full of God. He is God. And folks, when He speaks the words of God. And therefore, when you hear Jesus from the Scripture, and when you read the words of Jesus in the Scripture, you hear God. You read and hear the words of God when Jesus speaks. And not only does He speak as God, but notice what John says, and he just says it with a passing statement, He rules as God. Verse 31, "He who comes from heaven is above all. He is above all in power and authority and in every way. Look at verse 35. And has given all things, God has given all things into His hand. And so all things are given by God into the hand of Jesus. You know something, folks? To have something put into your hand by God means that you rule over that. It means that God gives His authority to you as He places something in your hand, and that's exactly what He did with Jesus. So John is lifting up Jesus as the ruler of all things. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Colossians 1:17. He said, "And He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, He, speaking about Jesus, He upholds the universe by the word of His power. You see, Jesus speaks the words of God and Jesus rules over all things. Now, I admit to you this morning that this is truly hard for us to wrap our minds around. I think we understand the concept of power and authority. We understand it in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in our nations. But folks, get this now this morning. God has given all things into the hands of Jesus. All things. The universe, the planets, the earth, everything in it. It is all under His rule and authority. The Apostle Paul would say it this way. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, he would say, "Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Now that sounds like to me that He rules over all things. And He does, absolutely, entirely, infinitely, completely. All of it, folks, from the highest to the lowest, from the greatest to the smallest, all has been placed in the hands of Jesus. So do you see how different Jesus is? Do you see what the Apostle John is trying to do as he closes this chapter, as he closes this passage? Jesus is from God. Jesus is full of God. And Jesus speaks and rules as God. He is God. And John, therefore, is revealing His glory. The glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so it's here in these last words. John does it in many ways in this gospel. But here's where we are this morning. It's here at this person named Jesus that eternity divides. It's here in the presence of this one who is from God and full of God and speaks and rules as God that all eternity divides. Look at verse 32 and 33. John says, "And what He has seen and heard, that He testifies, and no one receives His testimony. He who has received His testimony has certified that God is true." What John is saying here is that there is a great division. There's a great divide. Folks, eternity divides at Jesus. There are people who hear the words and the testimony of Jesus and they do not receive that testimony and they reject Jesus and they reject the words of Jesus and they reject God and they certify in their own hearts by their own decision that God is a liar. They reject Jesus. They reject God and therefore they are proclaiming God is a liar. And there are people who hear the words and the testimony of Jesus and they believe. And they receive His testimony and they set their seal to this. God is true. God is true. And that's why, folks, that we say this morning that eternity divides here at Jesus. And the final effect of sealing God as true in Jesus or sealing God as a liar in Jesus is the difference between eternal life and eternal judgment. On one side is eternal life, and on the other side is eternal judgment. If you believe that God is true in Jesus, you have eternal life. If you believe that God is a liar in Jesus, you have eternal judgment. And here's how John says it. Look at verse 36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath or the judgment of God abides on him." There's a mountain range in the Rocky Mountains where one can stand so that if he looks to the east, the waters of the mountains run to the Atlantic Ocean. And if you turn and you look to the west, the waters run to the Pacific Ocean. It's called the Great Divide. It's called the Continental Divide. And the waters from that point go in completely different directions. I submit to you this morning, as we close out this study from John chapter 3, that the Apostle John, that John brings us now to the great divide of eternity. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so one final time, we lift up before you Jesus. And our prayer this morning is that you will see His glory from His Word this morning, full of grace and full of truth. And that you will see Him and receive Him and believe in Him as from God and full of God, and speaking and ruling as God, and dying and being raised from the dead to bring sinful man to God. That's who Jesus is, and that's what Jesus has done. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your word. What can we say, or what praise can we lift up to you as we think about these last words in John chapter 3? Thank you, Father, that they would direct our attention to Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray this morning, if there's anyone here today who's not believed in Jesus, who's not acknowledged and seen the hopelessness, the helpless condition that they are in apart from you, and God, they've not called upon you, I pray that today, they would see the glory of Jesus and believe and have eternal life. Father, we trust you to work in hearts today, to open eyes that are blinded, hearts that are dull. God, we pray that you will give light to darkness today. Father, I pray for your children this day, and pray that we as your children, those that you by your grace has saved, that we would continue to see the glory of Jesus. And that this glory of Jesus and the finished work of salvation and the work of your grace and mercy in our lives comes entirely from you. And God, that we would be grateful, thankful people for what you've done. And God, that thankfulness and that gratefulness would work out in our lives through obedience and through submission and through humility to you. So God, any way that we look at it this morning, we desperately need Jesus. We need Him for salvation. We need Him for spiritual growth. Oh God, help us. And so we trust you now to work in your way in our lives, thanking you and praising you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.